Getting very near the end of our series on the Lord's Prayer. And so I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And I'll read the words of our Lord, the Lord's model prayer in its entirety this morning, starting in verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Hear God's word. In this matter, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we ask your blessing now on this reading and hearing of your word. May your Holy Spirit make it live in our hearts, and may we never forget what we are praying in these words that our Lord taught us, because we need every phrase in this prayer. We pray in his name. Amen. My text, of course, this morning is the first part of Matthew 6:13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that we live in one of the most temptation-saturated periods of history. With universal access to electronic communications, with too much money to spend on entertainment and worldly pleasures, who can deny that we live in a time of great temptation? For many people, even within the Lord's church. One writer, an observer, put it like this, quote, parents try to protect their children as much as possible, but it's becoming difficult to do so. We can't watch television without seeing the inroads that temptation has made into modern society, indeed, into our very homes. In this last petition of the Lord's model prayer, Christ teaches us that we need God's help and guidance to resist and overcome temptation and sin. I realize that to modern ears, this whole concept of sin and temptation sounds rather funny. But on the other hand, even secular people know that some things are wrong. And have their own code of conduct, or as Paul says in Romans 2:14, their own law. He says they are a law unto themselves, and they have a conscience. And they know that there are times when they are tempted to violate their own personal code. And so we could remind them of that if they laugh at the idea of sin and temptation. But Jesus' model prayer is meant to guide those who by faith in God's Son have become adopted into the Father's forever family. In other words, he meant this petition, as he did the whole prayer, for Christians or his disciples, those who follow him. And even though we stand forgiven, as we saw last week, we still sin. And even though we have been set free from the bondage of sin, we still face temptation. Satan, the tempter, never leaves a Christian alone. He'll never stop hounding your life. He'll never stop bothering you. He'll never just turn and walk away in defeat from your life. Therefore, the battle goes on in your life and mine, even after we've come to know the freedom that Christ gives us from sin and Satan. That's why 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3, excuse me, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Now, self-control, we know from Galatians 5:23, is a fruit of the Spirit. So even our self-control is not something we just conjure up in our own strength. It's something that comes to the believer through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And but we are instructed, though, that we are to be alert and we are to be self-controlled. And then Peter goes on to say, why is that? And he goes on to tell us why. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And remember now, he wrote that to Christians. He did not write that to the world. That comes in one of Peter's letters to his brethren in Christ. And he's warning them, he's warning us that we have a tempter, we have an enemy, an adversary who prowls around like a devouring lion. And if he could, he would try to devour us. None of us are above temptation because none of us are above sin. Matthew Henry, the Puritan, said, "The best of saints may be tempted to the worst of sins." Sometimes we see what we think is a great saint take a great fall because they forget this. The best of saints may be tempted to the worst of sins. One of the proofs, to me at least, that the Bible is God's word is that it tells the truth about its heroes. We've often remarked about that in Bible study since I've been here. It tells the truth about its heroes. It tells about their weaknesses and their failures. And you could read the scripture and think of a number of them. Even they are sinners. And too often even they fall into temptation. The one exception being, of course, that true hero of the Bible, our King and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of His servants have feet of clay, and all of His servants are liable to temptation and sin. But what could this mean, asking God not to lead us into temptation? We read in James chapter 1 a while ago that God doesn't really cause anyone to sin. It's impossible for Him to do that. So what does it mean that we ask Him not to lead us into temptation? And the Lord's Day 52 of the Heidelberg answers this question in these words. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides, our deadly enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, assail us without ceasing. Then, O Lord, I added that in there to keep the flow going. Then, O Lord, be pleased to preserve and strengthen us by the power of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may stand firm against them, those enemies of ours, and not be overcome in this spiritual warfare until finally complete victory is ours. In other words, we're asking our Heavenly Father for the help of His indwelling Holy Spirit to give us victory over our spiritual enemies when we ask God not to lead us into temptation. That is Lord's Day 52, I think it's question 127 in the Heidelberg Catechism. If you want to mark that and look at that later today. That is what we are asking God for. Now, experiencing temptation is not sin. Never think that because you have experienced a temptation or a time of temptation that you thereby have committed a sin. That is not so. Our Lord underwent temptation, but He sinned not. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Reading through verse 16. Hebrews 4:14. And the scripture says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin." Now there to me is one of the most comforting verses in the whole of the scripture. That we have a high priest that is supplied by God, his own son, who was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. And therefore, he can sympathize with us. He knows what we go through. And verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." Like him, if you are a true Christian, you can overcome temptation. After all, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 is a verse that I know many of you have memorized and you love, and you may have had it on a plaque or a Bible marker or something like that. But you know Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That is a wonderfully encouraging verse, is it not? But always remember, my friend, you cannot do it by yourself. You can never overcome the tempter. You can't even overcome your own flesh by yourself. It's always and alone through Christ and his Spirit in you. So we may earnestly pray for his help. Not only may we must. We must earnestly pray for the help of God if we're going to have success in the spiritual warfare that comes to all of us. But like I said, being tempted to sin does not mean that you have the same as committed it. I want to say that on behalf of our young people of responsible age this morning. You know, just because you think that, you know, you're tempted to do something, never think, "Well, I might as well go ahead, I've been tempted." No, you haven't committed the sin yet. You've merely been tempted to do it. Satan has tempted you to do that. But you have not given in yet. You've not committed that act yet. So it's not the same thing. Corrie ten Boom once said, "You cannot keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair." In other words, you're going to face all manner of temptation that comes to you in the providence of God. And you can't do anything about that. You can't change that. But you do not have to give in to it. That's another step. And that giving in is where the sin comes in. As I said earlier, Jesus was never a sinner, but he was tempted. Now, you know, after there in Matthew chapter 3, our Lord comes to John the Baptist for baptism. And he's baptized in the Jordan River, and he hears the voice from heaven. His heavenly Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then the very next verse, the opening of chapter 4, verse 1, says, "Then the Spirit," capital S, "the Spirit," of meaning of God, "led him into the wilderness where he was tempted of the devil." So our Lord suffered temptation. Now he did it on our behalf. I like what G.B. Duncan said about Christ's temptation. He said, "Jesus was tempted not because he was bad, but because he was important. Jesus was tempted not because he was bad, but because he was important. I should say important with a capital I. Now, if Jesus taught us to pray this, then we obviously need to take it to heart. And it has helped me studying the Lord's Prayer these past few weeks to think about that. That every single petition in this Lord's Prayer is needful. And I'm so thankful that Christ taught us to pray these needful things. And we need to pray, Father, deliver us from, or rescue us from the evil one. Now the Greek text, as the New Testament was originally written in Greek, has the definite article, deliver us from the evil. The King James Version drops out the and just says evil. The many versions add just deliver us from evil or the evil. But I agree with most commentators that Jesus is referring here to the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. And that would be Satan, of course. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 19, Christ refers to him as the evil one. And I'll give you another scripture you can look up. And there are others, but we won't stop and read them right now. But if you wanted to look them up later, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13 refers to Satan as the evil one. So Christ is teaching us in verse 13 of Matthew 6 that we need to ask our Father to deliver us from Satan's powers and his tricks. And that's why we need to be alert, as Peter said. Barnes puts it like this. Deliver us from his powers, his snares, his arts, his temptations. By asking God, we recognize his sovereign control over our lives in every situation. All prayer acknowledges the sovereignty of God. If God is not sovereign, why pray? We're asking God for his help. We're asking God for his intervention on behalf of ourselves and other people, brothers and sisters in the Lord who need that intervention. So it does recognize the sovereignty of God. But you and I have our part in this battle. You cannot be passive in spiritual warfare. Christ assumes that as a repenting believer, you will fight against the devil. And you will fight against your temptations. The whole New Testament, as a matter of fact, assumes that. That's why you're told about spiritual combat. We've been going on Sunday nights through some of Old Testament Israel's history. And we've been going through Joshua and Judges, where they're claiming their inheritance from the Lord, the land of Canaan, the promised land. And over again, they're being told that Jehovah God is giving them this land to be their land. But over and over, they're told that they must exercise faith and fight in his name. And it's the same way with us today, beloved. We have victory over Satan and over our flesh, over the world, but we must fight by faith. And so we have spiritual warfare. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Hear God's word. Finally, my brethren, so he's writing this to Christians, obviously, they're his brethren. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then you drop down to verse 18, he brings prayer into it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I've pointed out before that these petitions in the Lord's Prayer are pluralized. We're not just asking, we can ask, but we're not just always asking, Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Now, that's a good prayer. That's a good prayer to ask that. We need to be asking that, but we're also praying for our brothers and sisters. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So Paul says, making prayer and supplication for all the saints. But I've highlighted two things in this passage of Scripture that interested me this week as I read through it again. And then one of them is in verse 11, that you may be able to stand in spiritual warfare. And the other one, same thing in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand. So you see here, this is God calling us to action. Yes, God is the only one that can actually win the battle for us. We can only win it in His power and His strength through the indwelling Spirit. But He says, if you use the armor that I've given to you, verse 11, you will be able to stand. And verse 13, the same thing. You will be able to withstand in that evil day. One thing we must do as a basic step in spiritual warfare is to be conscious of tempting situations and avoid them at all costs. There are certain places where we ought not to go. There are certain activities that we ought not to ever engage in because of temptation. Matthew Henry said, those who would be kept from harm must be kept out of harm's way. In other words, avoid like the plague any situation that would be particularly tempting to you. And plus, I would add this. Take to heart the practical wisdom of the book of Proverbs. I find it to be a veritable arsenal for spiritual warfare. Now, you know, no matter what you think of or may have thought when he was still on this earth of Billy Graham, us Reformed folk have some issues with his doctrinal views that he entertained. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, people hired detectives to find dirt in his life, and they couldn't find any. And this went on for years, trying to find dirt on Billy Graham. But he did live with integrity, and they were not able to ever find anything. He lived a life of moral cleanness. Well, I read in a book one time that Billy Graham, one thing he did was, this is one of the right things he did. I'm not saying he didn't do a lot of them, but this certainly stands out. Every month that has 31 days in it, he read through the book of Proverbs that month, all of his life. He lived to be in his 90s. All of his life. And I do that too, because I thought, that's a good idea. I'll do that. And so you see, the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. So every month that has 31 days, I read the book of Proverbs that month, one chapter a day, till I get through all 31 chapters on the 31st of the month. And what I know about the book of Proverbs, what he knew, and what made me, hopefully a number of you know also, is that it's full of that kind of practical wisdom on how to live godly and to fight against Satan and sin and temptation. And you'll find a veritable arsenal of that truth in the book of Proverbs. Now realize this, beloved, you're going to face temptation. You have a spiritual adversary. He cannot take your salvation away from you, but he can rob you of joy. And he can harm your testimony for Christ. By the time I thought of this hymn, it was too late to include it this morning. But it has to do with our own Christian warfare against temptation and sin. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you, some other, to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Praise God for his conquering strength in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ has instructed us. He's made us very aware of our need to be aware of temptation and of our susceptibility to it, and that we need your help every day of our lives to overcome and to have the victory. And we thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.